This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower. And if you fly out of a busy general aviation field, today's story lands right in your lap. A coalition of pilot groups has filed a formal challenge with the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, over the landing fees at Falcon Field in Mesa, Arizona. The filing questions the city's financial analysis behind those fees and raises a bigger concern. What happens to flight training when the cost of a single touch and go starts climbing? You're listening to ATIS. Let's get into it. First, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now let's set the stage. Falcon Field sits on the northeast side of Mesa. If you've flown in the Phoenix area, you know it. Identifier Foxtrot Foxtrot Zulu. It is one of the busiest general aviation airports in the country, and a big reason for that is training. There are flight schools on that field, turning out student pilots by the hundreds, and a large share of them are training for careers overseas. Airline pilot pipelines, AB Initio programs. Students who fly pattern after pattern, day after day, building the hours and the muscle memory it takes to move into the right seat of an airliner. That volume is the whole story here, because when you run that many operations off a single field, the question of who pays for the runway, the taxiways, the tower, and the upkeep becomes a real number with real consequences. Here's what you need to know. Mesa put a landing fee structure in place at Falcon Field, and the city justified it with a financial analysis. That analysis is supposed to show that the fees are reasonable, that they're tied to the actual cost of running the airport, and that they aren't being used to unfairly single out one class of user or to divert money away from the field itself. Now a coalition of pilot advocacy groups has looked at that math and said, we don't think it holds up. They've taken that argument to the FAA. And that's the part that matters, because this isn't just a city council disagreement, this is a federal question. Let me explain why. When an airport takes federal money, and almost every public airport in this country has, it signs a set of promises. Those promises are called grant assurances. They are the strings attached to the federal dollars. And two of those assurances are central to this fight. The first is that an airport has to be, in the FAA's language, available for public use on reasonable terms and without unjust discrimination. You can't build a fee structure that quietly pushes out the users you'd rather not have. The second is what's often called the self-sustaining assurance. An airport is supposed to charge fees that make it as financially self-sufficient as it reasonably can be, given the circumstances. In plain terms, the field is supposed to pay its own way where possible, so it isn't leaning entirely on the taxpayer. Now here's the tension, and this is the heart of the whole dispute. Those two ideas pull against each other. The self-sustaining assurance says charge enough to cover your costs. The reasonableness assurance says don't charge so much or structure it so unfairly that you're effectively driving people off the airport. An airport sponsor has to live in the narrow band between those two. And there's a third rule sitting on top of both of them. Revenue diversion, money generated at the airport. Landing fees included is supposed to stay at the airport. It can go toward operating the field, maintaining it, improving it. What it cannot do is get swept into the city's general fund to pay for things that have nothing to do with aviation. The FAA takes revenue diversion seriously because it's one of the oldest ways a cash-strapped municipality can quietly treat a busy airport like an ATM. So when these pilot groups challenge Mesa's financial analysis, that's the framework they're operating inside. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. The real questions are these: are the fees actually tied to the cost of running Falcon Field? Or are they set higher than the numbers justify? And is the money staying on the field where it belongs? The filing raises a second concern, and for a lot of you, this is the one that hits closest to home: displaced training traffic. Think about how landing fees interact with flight training. A student pilot working the pattern doesn't make one landing. They make a dozen in an hour. Touch and go, climb out, come around, do it again. That's how you learn to fly an airplane. It's repetition. It's the crosswind that's a little different every time. It's the flare that finally clicks on the 40th try instead of the fourth. Now put a per landing fee on that. Suddenly, every one of those touch and goes has a dollar sign attached. A single training flight that used to be a fuel and instructor cost becomes a fuel, instructor, and landing fee cost multiplied by every trip around the pattern. For a flight school running dozens of airplanes and hundreds of students, that adds up fast. And schools are businesses. When a cost goes up in one place, they look for somewhere cheaper. That's what displaced training traffic means. If the fees at Falcon Field climb high enough, the training operations don't just absorb it, they move. They go to a neighboring field. And here's the part that should get every pilot's attention, whether you train there or not. This affects you if you fly anywhere near a field that suddenly inherits that traffic. Because training traffic doesn't vanish, it relocates, and the airports that pick it up may be smaller, may have less tower coverage, may not be built for that kind of pattern volume. You take a high-density training operation designed around one facility, and you scatter it, and you can end up with more congestion and more mid-air risk spread across fields that weren't planned for it. The safety argument here isn't abstract. Concentrated training at a well-equipped, towered field is, in a lot of ways, the safer arrangement. Break it up under financial pressure, and you may be trading a manageable known for a set of unmanaged unknowns. That's the concern the filing puts in front of the FAA. Not just are these fees fair to the people paying them today, but what does this fee structure do to the training ecosystem and to the airspace around it? Let me be clear about something, because Tower doesn't deal in outrage. There is a legitimate case on the other side. Airports are expensive. Falcon Field carries real costs, and a field handling that volume of operations takes a beating. Pavement wears. Systems need maintenance. Somebody has to pay for it, and the self-sustaining assurance says the users should carry a fair share rather than dumping it all on the Mesa taxpayer. A landing fee, in principle, is a completely legitimate tool. Plenty of airports use them. So this is not a case of the city being the villain. This is a case of a genuinely hard question. What is the fair number? And the mechanism for answering that question, when the users and the sponsor disagree, is exactly what's happening now, a filing with the FAA. Here's how that process actually works, so you understand what you're watching. The FAA has a formal complaint process for exactly this kind of dispute. It lives under the agency's rules for airport compliance, and the relevant piece is what's known as a Part 16 complaint. That's the federal procedure where an aggrieved party, in this case the pilot groups, formally alleges that an airport sponsor is violating its grant assurances. The FAA then investigates, the city gets to respond and defend its analysis. Evidence goes back and forth, and eventually, the FAA issues a determination on whether the airport is in compliance or not. This is not a courtroom in the usual sense, and it is not fast. These cases can take many months. But the outcome carries weight, because an airport found in violation of its grant assurances can face real consequences, up to and including risk, to future federal funding. That's the lever. That's why the grant assurances have teeth. The FAA can't run every airport, but it can hold the purse strings on the federal money, and no airport sponsor wants to be crosswise with the agency that helps pay for the pavement. So what should you actually do with this as a pilot listening right now? A few things. If you fly out of Falcon Field, or you train there, pay attention to how this resolves, because the fee structure that comes out the other side is the one you'll be paying. And know that the process gives you a voice. These challenges succeed or fail partly on the strength of the record, and the user community's experience is part of that record. If you fly out of any public airport, understand your rights under the grant assurances. Reasonable access without unjust discrimination and revenue that stays on the field. Those aren't favors. They are the conditions attached to the federal money your airport took. When a fee shows up that doesn't smell right, the grant assurances are the yardstick you measure it against, and the Part 16 process is the mechanism you have. And if you're an instructor or you run a school, this is worth watching closely, because fee structures at busy training fields have a way of spreading. What gets tested at one airport tends to show up at others. The precedent matters. Now, I want to flag something as opinion, and I'll mark it clearly as mine. I think the training angle is the most important part of this story, and it's the part that risks getting lost in a fight about spreadsheets. We have a national and a global shortage of pilots. The airlines have been sounding that alarm for years. And a huge amount of the training that fills that pipeline runs through a handful of high-volume general aviation fields, in good weather, in busy airspace, under a tower, exactly the environment that builds a competent pilot. When we start putting financial pressure on those fields in ways that scatter the training, we should at least be honest that there's a downstream cost, not just to the schools, to the supply of pilots, and to the safety of the airspace those students learn in. That's my read. Reasonable people can disagree. And the FAA will weigh it out on the merits, but that's the piece I'd keep my eye on. Here's where this leaves us. A coalition of pilot groups has asked the FAA to take a hard look at whether Mesa's numbers at Falcon Field add up, and whether the fees threaten to push training traffic somewhere it doesn't belong. The city gets to make its case. The FAA will decide, and the answer will tell a lot of other airports and a lot of other pilots where the line sits between an airport paying its own way and an airport pricing out the very people it exists to serve. My thanks to AveWeb for the reporting on the filing and to the FAA's own airport compliance framework for the rules underneath it. You can find more on what we cover at radiohanger.com. That's the state of the field for today. Watch this one. It's bigger than Mesa Tower, out.